It is time once again to have our good friend Brian Ross join us. It is time for Real News. Brian joins us here on Robinhood Radio once a week, and we take a look at the stories that are out there and who's covering it and how they're covering it. And once again, we say good morning, Brian. Thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here, as always. Nice to see some snow on the ground.
Yeah, and you know, at my house we got 5 to 6 inches. We got anywhere from 4 to 7 inches throughout the area, and we might get a little more. And if we can keep getting it in 5 to 6 inch increments at this time of year, we're well off.
Yeah, we're accustomed to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, some news. I want to start off with something that I've read in a couple of different papers that I trust. And that is that it seems that if it's not overnight, but the night before last, it appears the Ukraine sent many, many different drones with deep strikes inside Russia. One drone being brought down very near Moscow. If this is a true story, it really changes the whole face of the war.
It does. It's they're extending their reach here, I guess, within 60 or 70 miles of Moscow. One thing that I did notice that's troubling is the question of kind of an arms race. Who's going to run out of ammo first? And one of the big complaints from U.S. and NATO is that Switzerland, which, you know, as a neutral, peaceful country, is a huge arms manufacturer, provides ammunition, a lot of it, to Germany, Spain, and Portugal. They're refusing to let Germany, Spain, and Portugal and other clients send what they've made onto Ukraine. And there's a big row over that because, you know, what are the weapons for if not for war? And they say they want to be neutral. But there is a delivery and a lag in getting the much-needed ammo and the new tanks and other armaments into Ukraine in time. It's a difficult time now for Ukraine. And it's interesting to see if they're kind of extending their reach as a message to Russia, I guess, that if you're going to attack our capital, we may attack your capital.
It's interesting when you look at it that way, because since I've been home a lot, I've been reading, and it's a good thing actually. I've been reading a lot of different newspapers online, of course, and taking a look at news a different way. And Finland does that, but also they've begun to tighten up their borders and actually start building barriers with Russia, according to various reports. That Finland is doing that. And so that flies a little in the face of them not wanting to help out. I know they want to be an independent country, but that's another side of the story.
No, Finland for sure. It's Switzerland where the issue is. And Switzerland, they're putting a lot of pressure on Switzerland. Apparently, it's part of their constitution, they claim, that when they sell this, the armaments they make, they've got huge military infantry industry there, that they're prohibiting those countries from sending it on to Ukraine, and that's a problem. So, you know, Ukraine needs that, and you know, both sides are running low on ammo.
It's an interesting story. There's so many different storylines there. It's almost like watching a made-for-TV movie. I hate to say something like that, but there's just so many different storylines in the war in Ukraine. And you know what? I don't think we've seen the real surprises yet. I think they're still ahead of us now.
Without a doubt. And at the same time, this week in Washington, both Republicans on the far right and Democrats, who are sort of anti-war, have come together to create not a majority, but a significant minority, questioning the shipment of weapons to Ukraine and questioning the accountability, whether it's going into the right hands. And that's a troubling development for the administration, because it won't be easy sailing, it seems, as they continue to ask for more money for more weapons for Ukraine.
All right, I want to come back into this country, and I think anybody that didn't see this coming was not really looking at the pulse of Chicago, the pulse of America, the right. Drumbeat, and that is the Chicago's first female mayor was defeated in a bid for a second term, and there'll be a runoff by two other candidates.
There had been one other female mayor that I know of, Jane Byrne, but first African-American female mayor, who was really rejected, soundly rejected by the voters, did not make the runoff. primarily because what appears to be huge unhappiness over her stewardship of the city, with the crime right there just out of control. And whether she could have done more, who knows? But she certainly lost the election because of crime. And that's going to be a big issue in lots of major cities where crime continues to be an issue. Republicans raise it. And, as someone said, even liberals don't like being victims of crime.
Well, there was that whole thing about banning police, Kurt, and the Republicans used it to their are use it to their advantage to set up and in the big cities blame Democrats and the woke response to the police. So the Democrats as a party have got to get their act together. And yes, you have to stop the blue violence from police officers, but you also have to not bring up such terrible things as like eliminating police force or curtailing police forces, because this is what happens. I mean, San Francisco, the same thing happened in San Francisco with the way they treated with the way they treated people that did robbery crimes. It's not a good stance for Democrats in general.
No, and one of the things, interesting thing is, of the two candidates who are now going to be in the runoff in Chicago for mayor, one is probably more far to the left than the outgoing mayor Lightfoot, who's talked about defunding the police, and the other is very much a hard right. So we'll see. There's a clear choice for Chicagoans, and we'll see what happens there.
All right, and let's go to Greece now. What a horrific train crash that happened yesterday. There were two trains running on the same track. You would think, in today's world, that just shouldn't happen.
Absolutely. And it reminds us of what's happening with the freight rail and rail in this country as well. We haven't had head-on crashes like that. I think the signals are much more sophisticated. But there's a lot that's missing in terms of making these freight trains that are huge, extremely long, manned by a crew of maybe two or three people at the most. And as we saw in Ohio and East Palestine, it's a disaster because we rely on the railroads, I think correctly, to move huge quantities of chemicals, better there than on the highways. But as these companies have sought efficiency and profitability, and they've stretched their workers to the limit, we see what happens. And what I think is interesting, Marshall, is that Republicans are all up in arms about what happened in Palestine. But as you extend the logic there, what they're, are they really saying? They want more sort of regulation by government over railroads, which have had a heyday with Republicans in Congress. They've been able to get a lot of the restrictions limited. So it's quite an issue. But safety on the rails, we take it for granted as we go back and forth from Wasaic down to New York and so on an Amtrak. But it's a real issue out in the country with these freight trains. Another big crash this week down in Florida with a train carrying propane.
It's interesting because when people look at Washington, D.C., and they think about the parties and the different laws that are enacted and some that are stripped away as presidents change, some of the legislation that is the less glamorous legislation, like the legislation regarding safeties of trains, which Barack Obama's administration strengthened, were stripped away by the Trump presidency and the Republicans, and that's what I call ugly, ugly legislation, which most of the public it just goes right past the public.
Yes, but let me add to that, and that's been a theme that we've heard from the Biden administration. Let me add to that, the Washington Post did a very thorough investigation and found that nothing that the Trump administration did in terms of regulating railroads was directly connected to this crash in East Palestine. It was directly connected. There are some caveats there, but it may not be as caught a hand in the cookie jar as bad as it might originally seem in terms of what the Trump administration did. They made changes for sure. But according to the Washington Post reporting, which is very thorough on this, nothing specifically they did led to this crash.
It's an amazing the amount of big news stories that are out there. And I'm going to ask you a question, seeing as you've been in the news business for so long. How do you think in general news coverage is. I've, like I said, since I've been reading newspapers more lately, I've found that now more than ever, I see that I think television needs to sober up and do a better job. I think newspapers are doing a fine job in reporting news, but unfortunately, there's too many young people that don't rely now on newspapers.
Well, they get their news elsewhere. They get it online. They get it on TikTok, you know, Instagram, Snapchat. Facebook really is no longer for the young. It's for people my age. But I agree with you that. But what I think what does happen, the word does get out, and the major newspapers, and by that I mean the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal. Those three papers are doing incredible work in investigations and opening up stories that we haven't heard about. The TV networks, not so much. Limited budgets there, limited airtime. And then, you know, Marshall, the segue to that is look at the developments we're seeing in the lawsuit brought against Fox News by the voting machine company Dominion, and how craven the bosses at Fox were. So afraid of losing ratings, so afraid of Trump followers no longer watching them, that they actually ordered the firing of several key people who had done nothing wrong and actually got the stories right, but angered the viewers. And they were afraid of losing the viewers. And so they knew, according to the depositions, which is the pretrial testimony of Rupert Murdoch, his son, and other key figures at Fox, they knew a lot of the stuff they were saying about Trump and the rigged and fake and stolen elections was absolutely crazy. Lots of expletives deleted there, but they went ahead and put it on the air anyway, racing for ratings.
Speaking about Fox and Donald Trump, once again, that relationship is in jeopardy, as now Donald Trump's taking off after Murdoch. What do you think about what Fox is Fox doing this to try to combat the Dominion story, or do you think that they really won't support him in the next coming presidential campaign?
Well, I think you can tell by the coverage on Fox News and in the front page of the New York Post, owned by the Murdochs, that they have backed away from Trump and they are no longer supporting him as they once did wholeheartedly. And I think in part it's they're waking up to the fact that they've got a serious problem in this lawsuit, that they really are, you know, they're being sued for $1 billion or more by this voting machine company, you know, over the false claims made about them, that, you know, they could switch votes from one candidate to another, complete stuff that's just made up. And I think that Mr. Murdoch recognizes, and clearly he does in his testimony, he's got a problem there. You know, they let go of Lou Dobbs after he was, you know, Murdoch described him as crazy. And he acknowledged that others in his others of his news anchors were making false claims. He claims that Fox itself as a network didn't, the individuals did. So let's see what a jury says about that. But yeah, they, you know, he's a political figure, and he uses his power and his might and his media might to influence American elections. And he clearly helped Trump when he was running him back in 16. And then he has turned against him now. And, you know, as you were saying, Trump's complaining about Fox, you know, so that there's a strange, there are strange ex-bedfellows, huh?
How about the story? And, you know, you shake your head, the origins of COVID, with the FBI director now basically putting out the feelers that COVID-19 likely has resulted from a lab incident. It's a question of, do you believe it was a Chinese lab, or whose lab do you think did it, or is just a loose cannon with the COVID-19 right. Virus has been out there. Is it China? Is it someone else? Is it human made that caused this?
Well, that is the suggestion that they were the conclusion of American intelligence, based on what I've seen, what I've heard, is that there's no indication that the Chinese were trying to make a weapon, trying to kill people, but they were doing experiments. And both the Department of Energy and now the FBI director in an interview on Fox say they believe it came from a leak or an accident at a lab. And that's based largely on the fact that well before this happened, there were three main lab technicians in Wuhan, China, who came down with the very disease that we now know as COVID-19. And that's the basis in large part for the belief that this was a lab accident, that it did come out of China. And I think the other piece of evidence that's very strong to me is the way that China has tried to obstruct any investigation by even the World Health Organization or US figures or anybody else. They're trying to hide something. So that, I think, points a finger right at, back at them. But now we've got the Department of Energy and the FBI, although with what they call low or moderate confidence, which is not, 100% rock solid. They still say they believe that the evidence shows a lab leak. Other parts of the U.S. intelligence community who have weighed in, not so much. So there's not a consensus yet that has developed. But I think the FBI and the Department of Energy saying this suggests very strongly that they know something, and Republicans in Congress are demanding they get a full briefing, and I think they deserve one. I think Congress deserves a full briefing about what we know. This little accident, if they had been more forthright, perhaps it could have been contained in China. It might have saved, millions, tens of millions of lives around the world.
Well, there's a lot of news out there, and it seems it gets broader and broader each week. We'll check with you next week and see where we all stand on all these topics, Brian. Thanks for joining
Absolutely.
us.
Lots going on. Good to be with you, Marshall.